Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening to the podcast. This is a curated collection of podcasts from our 2019 prayer and fasting season, and it's our heart that these will equip and encourage you to go deeper in your understanding of prayer and fasting.
Well, welcome to day 18 of our Closer Season podcast. My name's Stacey, and today we've got very special guest, Pastor Corey Turner, returning to the podcast.
It's good to be back.
It is, and it's day 18. So when we reflect on these podcasts, we may actually go, that didn't even make sense.
Totally. We've got a bit of fasting brain at the moment. Only a few days to go.
Oh, somebody told me they listened to some of my jokes in the first few and they were like, oh, she is hangry.
Totally. Let's just put it down to that.
Okay. Let's put it down to that. Thank you for the pass. But today we're actually talking about Daniel's fast and the spiritual dimension that goes with that. There's actually two fasts in the book of Daniel. Yeah. Did you want to talk a little bit about what the two of those are?
Yeah, totally. So when we look at Daniel's life and ministry in the book of Daniel, we see in Daniel chapter 1, there is a 10-day fast that Daniel engaged in along with his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then in Daniel chapter 10, we see a 21-day fast. The 21-day fast has become more popular in people's thinking and their approach, and is probably what, if they've heard of the Daniel fast, people would be familiar with. But let's look at both of these and let's see the implications and impact of them on not only Daniel, but what happened in Babylon through Daniel's ministry. In Daniel chapter 1, we hear and we read that the context of the reason why they're in Babylon is because they've been taken into captivity. And Israel is in exile, and they represent royalty. The Bible says in verse 4 of Daniel 1 that they were youths without blemish, of good appearance, skillful in wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace. Sounds a little bit like all of the youth ministry.
Well, actually, pause for a second. Youths without blemish.
Totally.
Proactive central right there. Did they have it then?
Absolutely. They would have just stopped in the local cosmetic shop.
Oh, I'm not endorsing any brands, obviously, but.
and so these were young men that had capacity. These were young men that were identified from the royal family as being standouts in their generation, according to the measurements of culture of that day. They were brought into the king's palace to be taught the literature and language of the Chaldeans to become diplomats and advisors to the king. And the Bible says in verse 5, the king assigned Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego a daily portion of food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Now, it's interesting to see in verse 8 of chapter 1, Daniel responds to this regime. And it says in verse 8, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. Now, initially, the Bible tells us that the eunuch who was representing the king was quite resistant to this program, quite resistant to Daniel's suggestion, because he didn't want, firstly, to lose his head, because he was worried about Daniel and his three friends looking different to the other young men and women that were being trained to stand in the king's court. But Daniel responds by challenging this eunuch and saying, hey, let's look at this. Why don't we test your servants for 10 days? Let us be given only vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. Now, why is it that Daniel was resolving himself not to eat the king's food and delicacies? There are probably three reasons. Firstly, the king's food was probably against the Jewish dietary laws, so Daniel didn't want to violate his covenant with God. Secondly, the king's food was most probably offered up to foreign idols and demonic spirits. So again, he did not want to violate his personal faith in God. But thirdly, Daniel also wanted to be healthy in body, mind, and spirit for his service and his ministry to the king in Babylon. And so what we are seeing here is the initial indicator that part of the reason for Daniel's fast is not just about his relationship with God, but was about actually getting into a healthy place, spring cleaning his body, ridding it of toxins and various poisons, additives, etc., that would contaminate his health so that he could be as sharp as he possibly could, body, mind, and spirit, to be able to serve the purposes of the king.
It's quite amazing, really, because he's described as a youth. I'm going to give a shout out to his mum. We don't even know her name. She's raised this boy well.
Absolutely.
She's taught him, when the wine is offered, no, 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 son. We don't go there. You're
just
still
say no.
But a youth.
Just say no.
And for my sons who are listening, no, 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 we don't go there. But he obviously had some measure of wisdom from a very young age.
Absolutely. And so obviously you're seeing that his upbringing, as well as his own personal history with God, was coming into play here. And we see that he was making a very important decision about how he was going to conduct himself and what he was going to do, what he wasn't going to do in this new city, this foreign culture in Babylon. The result of this 10-day initial fast was profound. And in fact, not only did the eunuch see the amazing results, but the eunuch allowed Daniel and his three friends for the next 3 years of training actually only eat vegetables and water. So we discover it wasn't just 10 days, it actually went on for 3 years. Now, I don't know about you, Stacey, but if someone says you've got to eat asparagus and just drink Mount Franklin water for 3 years and not have any lemon meringue pie, and not have, you know, your favorite, I don't know, your roast lunch dish, we're going to have a conversation. There
Absolutely.
Could be some hangry sort of responses, as we've seen from you today already.
Oh, turn it up.
that could be an issue. And this is the response at the end of that entire season of time. It says in verse 17 of chapter 1, as for these four youths, God gave them learning. So it wasn't the result of just their prayer and fasting. It was God responding to them. God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And at the end of this time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king spoke with them. Here it is. And among them, all of them, none was found like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, they stood before the king, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all of his kingdom.
I love applying this to our youth like you did before. The youth in our church being 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters and the rest of their generation being countercultural and standouts. It's a pretty amazing thought.
It is. And I think it's a challenge to every one of us about how serious are we about representing God in our lives, in the culture, in the workplace. Here is Daniel and his three friends in a foreign culture, a foreign land, worshipping foreign gods. And they didn't mind if their names were changed. At the end of the day, their identity wasn't in their name. Their identity was in God. But what they did decide that they weren't going to compromise is their covenant before God when it came to their diet. And their diet was not just about their relationship with God. Their diet was actually about understanding that food is fuel. You are what you eat. And so they were wanting to position themselves in a place to give their best ministry, their best service to that king of Babylon. They had a foreign king who essentially was an unbeliever. So their boss did not acknowledge who God was as far as Yahweh, who Daniel and his three friends worshipped, and yet in a foreign, hostile environment to their faith and to the worship of Yahweh, they decided to represent God well.
So good. And they proved him to be faithful and strong through their behaviors and their actions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because God always honors a lifestyle of purpose, intentionality, and sacrifice when it comes to our faith and when it comes to God asking us to honor him in certain areas, just like God has asked many of us over these last 21 days to pray and fast particular things. As we honor him, we may not see the results visibly. It wasn't straight away, but at the end of that period of time, when they came before the king, it was evident, the king saw there is a marked difference of these four on these four youths as there is compared to the other young people.
Yeah, look, I love thinking about towards the end of our fast that in verse 8, Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself. We've got to have resolve to get through these last few days. It's really important.
Absolutely. And I don't think you can enter into a season of prayer and fasting without resolve. That's why hearkening back to the early days of the podcast, we talked about this has got to be something that not only do you voluntarily step into willingly, but it's also got to be led by the Holy Spirit, because we need not only grace, his grace is sufficient for us, his strength is made perfect, but we need resolve and conviction to see this season through.
Hearkening back, I like that.
Yeah, look, that might have been a fasting sort of insight there that God just gave me. Very powerful word, hearkening.
Oh,
you should use it today. My challenge to every one of those listeners out there is to use the word hearkening somewhere in your working day. It could be a meeting with your boss. Just throw it in there. Just see what happens.
I'm going to try and put it in two more times before the end of the podcast.
Well, you do that.
I'm going to.
Give it your best shot.
So let's talk about the other fast in the book of Daniel.
Totally. So Daniel chapter 10 is where we see the Daniel fast, which has become more popular and more traditionally known, particularly of believers of the modern day. And we see that Daniel decides that he is going to enter into a partial fast once again. And particularly the Bible says in verse 2 and 3 that over 3 weeks, Daniel does not eat any delicacies, any meat, or any wine, nor does he anoint himself at all for the full 3 weeks. So he's just decided, I'm going after this, right? I mean, the New Testament in Matthew 5 and 6 talks about when you fast, anoint yourself with oil. It's actually addressing the issue of personal grooming. All right. Daniel clearly must have had some space in this period of time from his public office. And it's clear that he decides, you know what, I need a spiritual breakthrough. What is it to every listener out there that you need a spiritual breakthrough in? Because in Daniel chapter 10, we see precedent. We see Daniel taking ownership and saying, you know what, enough is enough. I need not only illumination from God into the matters and things that I'm encountering about the end times, but I actually need a spiritual breakthrough here. And so the purpose of this particular 21-day fast was for spiritual illumination and spiritual breakthrough. And so we see that Daniel abstains from meat, he abstains from wine, and he abstains from delicacies. And again, there is a focus on healthy food. There is a return to basic nutritional necessities. He's getting back to basics so that he can focus on what's most important. And I think in all of our lives, because there's so much distraction in our modern day, because there's so many things that go on in our workplaces, our personal lives, with our families, just even in our own minds, there's something to be said for setting ourselves apart, focusing ourselves, getting back to the simple things in life and saying, you know what, I've become a bit dull in my spirit. There's a bluntness there in terms of my ability to hear from God. I actually want to have a quickening in my spirit, illumination of my mind to the Word of God. I'm going to focus myself on God and what's most important so that I can hear from him and get a breakthrough in my life.
So good. And hearkening back to the text.
Wow. There it is.
In verse 6, it actually describes how Daniel during his fast was visited by an angel. It says his body was like beryl. Now, I had an aunt whose name was Beryl.
It's a very powerful name.
Is this what it's talking about, Auntie Beryl?
I don't think it's probably addressing Arnie Beryl. She was a lovely lady.
She was, actually.
And I love her name.
She
and to all the Beryls out
roast.
There, just champion, just cheer for your name because it's an awesome name. But no, Stacey, to be honest, this angel that looked like Beryl was not your auntie. And was not nowhere near the ballpark, actually, but was a very powerful angel. And this podcast is getting out of control. But we see here, back on point, Arnie Beryl, we see here, hearkening back, I'm just throwing that in for you, back to Daniel chapter 10, we see the application of why you would enter into a 21-day fast and why would you abstain from meat? Why would you abstain from wine? And why would you... Fasting brain has really kicked in. Why would you abstain from delicacies? And there are three main reasons, and we see all of these in Daniel chapter 10. First is, I want to receive more insight into God's word. I don't know about you, Stacey, but... not just because I'm a preacher, not just because I'm a leader of a local church, but because I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a believer in Jesus, I value the Word of God. God's Word is our foundation. I need insight into God's Word. One of the prayers that I pray in my morning devotions is, God, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your Word. I need the eyes of my heart enlightened. I need the eyes of my heart illuminated to see things in God's word that I haven't seen before. If you are in a daily habit of reading the word of God, there are many passages of scripture you would have read over and over again. But every now and then we need an aha moment. Yeah. We need the light bulb of the Holy Spirit to come on and illuminate the word of God to us so that we can see something that God is trying to communicate to our hearts. When we pray and fast, we set ourselves up for that aha moment.
We definitely do. And this is one of the great things about a prayer and fasting season is we create space and time to digest God's word a bit slower than we normally do. It's not about tick off my four chapters for today and write a soap devotion. They're all great things. But
absolutely.
It's taking our time in the Word and receiving revelation on scriptures we've read 100 times before.
Absolutely. And so not only insight into God's Word, but overcoming spiritual resistance. We see that there was a battle in the heavenlies between the archangel and a demonic spirit that was actually delaying the answer that Daniel was looking for. You've got to be reminded in a prayer and fasting season, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6 tells us, but against principalities and powers of darkness in the heavenly realm. We are fighting spiritual battle. We need to understand that prayer and fasting is a spiritual weapon that overcomes spiritual resistance in our lives. And every one of us face this. We may not acknowledge it at first. We may dismiss it as just, you know, everyday life or a season of tribulation and suffering. It could be sickness. It could be relational breakdown. But we need to understand our adversary aims to steal, kill, and destroy the abundant full life that Jesus has come to give us. And prayer and fasting is a tool. It's a spiritual weapon that helps us overcome spiritual resistance.
Yeah, and Daniel's example in both of these fasts actually shows us that by subtracting foods from our life, which in the natural would mean weakness, produced a strength that provided a testimony.
Absolutely. And this is the paradox of fasting. As we've already talked about before, fasting is a paradox. It's our bodies feel weaker, but our spirit feels stronger. His grace is sufficient for us. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And the final thing that this particular 21-day Daniel fast does, it actually gives us direction for the future. And it was concerning the end times, the times to come for Daniel, and not just Daniel, but planet Earth itself and Israel that God was speaking into in this 21-day fast. And many of us need God's guidance, direction, and wisdom when it comes to our future. God doesn't give us a full blueprint plan, but what he does give us is his word that shines a light upon our feet and upon our path to enable us to take one more step. The Bible says, my word or your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so it's during prayer and fasting that we get illumination for our future.
Brilliant. Love what we've learnt from the two Daniel fasts today. And I personally know a lot of people who are following a Daniel diet during this 21 yep. days. And I'd like to give a shout out to both Beryl and Wayne who've joined us.
Let's harken back to that.
Throughout this podcast. Actually, I think we should harken back to the early days of the podcast where you finished each day with a prayer.
Well, let's harken back to that prayer time, but let's pray together to finish off day 18. Father, we just thank you so much for sustaining us over these last 18 days. We thank you, Lord, for the example of Daniel. What a mighty man of God, both in his teenage, adolescent years, but also, God, in his mature adult years. He demonstrates to us a heart that is uncompromising, a heart that is completely devoted to you. And Father, I pray that we would carry that same heart. We would follow his example. Lord, where in our lives we need to finish strong over these next few days as we head towards the 21st day of our prayer and fasting season. Father, I pray, give us grace, O God. Help us to have fresh resolve and conviction in our hearts. And we are believing, O God, for great breakthroughs, Lord, for direction for the future, to overcome spiritual resistance, insight and illumination into your word. I pray your blessing, your favor upon every listener. Encourage them today. We honor you, give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.